Genau. Also, mein Talk.
My talk, instructions unclear about the inaccessibility of symbols.
Also,
wer kennt dieses Bild? Who knows this image?
I'm
pretty sure almost everyone here has seen this picture in school. It shows what a symbol could be or could not be. And that's the biggest topic. When one person sees two faces, another person sees one cup.
Symbolen, die auf Schildern vorkommen, passieren.
And something like this could happen on a sign. Here's one example.
Ja, bitte die Tauben nicht würzen.
Please do not feed the pigeons. I think somebody climbed up and put it by the entrance. It's funny. But what happens when
das nächste WC sucht?
Someone's looking for the next bathroom.
Ich WCs finde oder er suche. Gerade in vielen Restaurants kenne ich das noch.
That one completely wrong. So I know this from restaurant.
WCs sind unterschiedlich.
The signage to bathrooms is a bit different in every place. Most of you know this. There's an H for gentlemen and a D for ladies. It's the German initials. Yeah. You need to know that this is signage to a bathroom. And this is a bit more simple. M for male or men, W for women. And it's the same. It's looking like the signs for an elevator. I've seen this as a bathroom sign in a restaurant before. One is a woman, the other a man. And who was supposed to understand this? I'm not sure. Yeah. Proposed solution. Why don't we just standardize it? For one, we get one simple solution, we find out where the bathroom is, and on the other hand, if you write WC for water closet, then people know it's supposed to be a bathroom. Yeah. And the other thing is, the subject gendering and misgendering is a bit taken to the side. It's not completely gone. Unisex toilets are not my subject. That's for other people to talk about. But yeah, we've seen a couple images how symbols influence the wayfinding. But let me ask a question. I wanted to talk about symbols and not about text, right? So, when is text suitable as a symbol? I used two letters, WC. They're big, they're short, they can't be mistaken for anything else. You can use those. It's short and is compliant with international or at least Western standards. And even if it's originally an English term, it's spread throughout the world. There's zero to no language barrier. But you need to use a clear font and need to have it in sufficient size. So far, so easy. But back to the search. Who of you has looked for a bathroom here at Congress? Yeah, lots of hands going up. Have you found it? Did you find it?
Irgendwann schon.
Eventually, apparently. So, you found this sign, right?
Ja, blöd gelaufen.
Oh no.
Das hier ist ein WC, das hoch und runter
fährt. No, that's a bathroom that goes up and down.
Steht leider tatsächlich so da,
that's
auf Zügen.
The elevator sign here, yeah.
Gut, vielleicht wundert man sich dann
maybe
auch nicht
if
mehr so,
you
dann
don't wonder how the insides of some elevators at train stations smell, but yeah.
Symbole,
symbols they mean well, but yeah.
Aber warum
but
man
why
nicht einfach
don't you
so
just use this as a symbol for elevator? It can't be mistaken as easily.
Also, ein weiteres Learning.
Another learning. What is important for symbols? Less symbols, ones that can't be mistaken.
Und betrachtet das Ganze, wenn
and please, if you create such symbols, try to view it from different perspectives. Sure, somebody looking for an elevator is going to understand this sign. Yeah, it's probably going to be an elevator. But if you're looking for a bathroom, maybe not. So try it from different perspectives. Yeah.
I noticed that I'm a bit faster than I planned, but okay. Something else which is really important. If we look at the topic of color and shape, and we're still talking about the accessibility topic, then there are some things to think about. Who does not know what this symbol is on the screen? Statistically, most of you should know this, but for those who don't know it, it's a street lamp, a signal, a red light. At some point, it was turned from horizontal to vertical, and there's a difficulty that a lot of people have, for some reason, statistically more men, that can't tell the difference between red and green. So when the symbol is on its side, laying horizontally, it's difficult to tell which one is red, which one is green. Colors are dangerous.
Auch an der Stelle nicht nur rot und grün gefährlich, es gibt da verschiedene
there are many things or many ways that you can make mistakes, especially with colors.
Ein weiteres Thema.
Another topic.
Symbole.
Do you know these different signs, these four?
Sind die so, wie es üblich ist, mal gefärbt?
So they're typically colored.
Was fällt denn euch da auf?
What do you notice? What do you notice in these colors? We have different colors with different meanings. Green means everything's okay. Yellow is a warning. Red means critical or forbidden. And blue means information. Most of you should know this from programming through your IDE. But you also know that not only does a lot of people not aren't able to see the colors, but also that not everybody knows the associations with the colors. Green is a go color, and yellow and red are warnings or negative. You need to pay attention. It's in general not a bad idea. You can use it. But if you're going to create and design a sign or a symbol,
natürlich sollte es trotzdem auch vom Symbol her eindeutig sein.
Then you should make sure it's designed by somebody who knows what they're doing. A symbol should be have exactly one meaning. It shouldn't have more than one meaning. If it's a nice big red stop sign, it's okay. All right. So those are the things you have to be careful of when you're considering colors. And I will summarize it quickly here. On one side, color blindness is something you should be aware of and take into consideration. for example, red, green, but there's also other color blindness types. It's much more easier to differentiate if it's just black and white.
Etwas besser ausgeglichen. Das nächste ist das Thema Bedeutung von Farben.
The next topic or point is about the meaning of colors. And the third and last one is about the perception of colors is different from person to person. For one person, they see it as red, as a warning.
Absolut kritisch an.
And the other one sees it as absolutely critical no-go. And yet someone else thinks about the next disco when they see red. So you can't really depend on just the color and make the assumption that it has one meaning. You have to consider all the cultures. And then another topic I spoke about or would like to speak about is the topic contrast. Whoever can read this is either... All right, somebody in the audience has good eyes, it says. Whoever can read this is either in Hall H or watching online. I didn't want to be mean, but I had to show this. And now I will let you look at it in this form. Here you can see that contrast is extremely important. And now you can see why a high contrast is really an advantage.
Ich habe das ja selber geschrieben. Ich kann das mit viel Mühe und Not auf meinem PC-Bildschirm noch entschlüsseln. Aber ja,
it's so blurry. I can't read it myself. And most of you wearing glasses, it can happen. You forget your glasses. And if a low contrast text or a low contrast symbol is not legible anymore. And another thing about contrast, it's not just the color or the brightness, but depending on thickness of a line, so it appears stronger or not as strong, especially if we're talking about blurry vision. Thicker lines are advantageous. So what do you need to keep in mind about contrast? Whoops. I had forgotten something, apparently. But anyway, I'm going to tell you now what you need to keep in mind about contrast. Choose colors that clearly are different from each other. Ideally, you pick colors, black and white, that's a really good contrast. They're really the furthest away on the color spectrum from each other. If you want something that's like really legible, black and white is really good. Otherwise, a very dark color and a very bright color, there's a good contrast. A less dark color doesn't really show up that well against from a dark color, and a bright and a less bright are also not that much contrast. Yeah, so much about contrast. Now we're going to take a little bit of a detour. So I thought I was going to be faster, and this is also a topic that's of interest to me. Symbols change over time. Who knows this one? What is this?
Tic-tac-toe?
Tic-tac-toe? Yeah? What else is this? Pound sign? Yeah? Ah, that's what I wanted to hear. Since when does the hashtag exist? So it's been... Social media is not that old. I know the times. I'm not that old, but I remember the days when you went knocking on the neighbor's door to invite them to come outside and play and didn't write them a WhatsApp. By now, I don't know. You write, hey, wanna come play? Hashtag fun? Yeah. Kids these days. Yeah, so basically, a hashtag is a very precise symbol that changes over time. There's a lot more like these. This is just one example. I decided against some other examples, but especially in religious context, there's a lot of things that changed over millennia. Who wants to go down that rabbit hole? It's really, really interesting. You can get lost in there very easily. So, as a summary, and I did not take enough time to build these slides. Anyway, you see, I am myself a little bit ADHD autism. So, in summary, I'm going to start at the front and work myself through. With symbols, please pay attention. They can't be mistaken. Make sure that you look at it from different perspectives, that you keep in mind with the colors for people with color blindness, that you do clear contrasts, especially for people who can't see low contrast things so good. And then I'd go on to the Q&A part of this talk. Thank you.
Genau, gar nicht schlimm.
All right. Not a bad thing at all that we're done so fast. I heard something about a rabbit hole. And maybe there's a lot of great questions about this rabbit hole, maybe. Short reminder, a question has a question mark at the end. And maybe keep it brief so many people... So keep it short, if you two or three sentences. So two or three sentences aren't enough, because I want to contradict you. One, it's a bit disturbing that there's sound from coming from the back, and I can see that you had a difficulties holding this talk because you can hear yourself and there's the people from the back. So thank you for keeping your focus and for leading us through this communication issues. So it's probably a good intro to talk about the signage system. On the system, it's a bit of a catastrophe. So there's the halls. There's hall one, there's hall H, which is far down, and I always get lost in the food court. So I don't know, is anybody also doing this?
So,
one addition to what you said, which is the findability of bathrooms is pretty good. They're always in the same place relative to the building. And also the hallways and the names of the elevators, that's also good, because it's this both genders may go up and down. Yeah, that's okay. The gendering bathrooms is something we need to rethink. That's a good example. But here's the question. Can you talk about the difference between numbers and amounts and how they don't really make all that much sense? That's a good point, actually. Here you see in the hall, if you look around, there's a couple numbers. So, I presume the CCH were having a plan when naming the halls and numbers. I don't really know about that, but of course it makes sense to have less room for mistaking things, that you use the same numbers on top of each other on the different floors. So if you exit the elevator, three doors to the down, it's a room ending in three. And the only difference is the first number, which is for the floor. So this absolutely makes sense. But actually, I didn't really look into this so much. I'm really about relational things. And I travel a lot, and I'm forever looking for the bathrooms at train stations. If you've been to the Dortmund train station, if track 11 and track 14 are on the same... Sorry, it's 11 and 16, they're on the same platform. That's really, really confusing. Or if things I use a lot, because it's a place of retreat, it's a DB lounge. The symbol is very small, it's not easily recognizable.
Do we have any more questions? Here in the front. Hi. You explained that there are quite a few symbols that we could just go down a rabbit hole researching. What would they be? For those people who have a problem with the Christian religion, they can leave the talk now. Because with these symbols, I've really researched them a lot and dealt with them. Primarily, it's about the cross, which has to do with the religion. From a really bad torturing instrument. And yet, by many organizations, it's involved. You'll see helping organizations, voluntary organizations like Red Cross have the cross on them. You can also look at the federal flag of Switzerland, and there's a cross on that, and Christianity is a part of that. And I think it's interesting how through so many people and lots of time, how a symbol can either be something that you're scared of or something that can give you strength, and how it can evolve in these directions. A short comment, CERT, our emergency personnel here, also has a cross on it. Yes, the cross is meant as an international symbol for medicinal help. That last one did not have a question mark at the end. Who can do that better? Does the internet have any questions? Anyone?
Alle erschlagen.
Gut.
All right, good. Then, thank you for this wonderful lecture.
Please give a round of applause for Sebs.